God's creating, life-giving spirit is a spirit of infinite, self-giving love. That is a small attempt to try and focus us. When we use the word God, that's what we should be talking about. Do it better, but that's a summary of it. It's a spirit of infinite, self-giving love. God's Spirit is working within creation, holding every creature in existence, enabling it to be and to transcend itself. This is the evolutionary process. Many dead ends, much random activity going on, all kinds of stuff. Planets hitting the Earth, meteorites hitting the Earth, and dinosaurs getting floods and the whole rest of it. But holding every creature and enabling each creature to transcend itself from within. So the little bird develops a beak that can get the honey. And the birds that can't do that die out. But the bird that has the beautiful beak survives because it can get at the honey. And again, you know all that from who's the great man who's helped us all, Attenborough. God has given a gift to the world, hasn't he? Taken us into these extraordinary places we could never imagine, and just watching it all happen. The wonder of creatures. And we transcend ourselves by evolving in the direction of increasing complexity. One cell, fine. More than one cell, but an organism, wonderful. The human brain, of smoke, what an extraordinary product of self-transcendence of the creation. Creation is a continuous receiving of the Spirit of God, who gives to creation all that it is and all that it has, including the impulse to transcend itself, to grow beyond what it can now do. And we're still in this process, of course. By the time you finish this retreat, you'll evolve amazingly. We do. We're doing it all the time, please God. But a week is not much when you compare it to 6 billion years, is it? But that's the process we're all in. This is Walter Casper, Cardinal, who's written a beautiful book on mercy quite recently. Well, this is a book called The God of Jesus Christ. And he writes, whenever, see if you agree with it, he's just doing his best as I am, whenever something new arises, whenever life is awakened and reality reaches ecstatically beyond itself, in all seeking and striving, in every ferment and birth, something of the being and the activity of God's Spirit is manifest. So every new species that emerges, as was said beautifully yesterday morning to us, and you know anyhow, we've got to just wonder about it and be caught up in the mystery of it. And the blooming worm that Michelle is taking off the path of God, we'll never get to the end of the corridor or down to the gate if we all do that. But anyhow, you know what you were saying, and it's quite lovely. We've just got to wonder at it all. And we've got to find people in public life who know this, and we've got to support them with all our heart and our vote. If you can find them, good. Because they must be there. Psalm 104. They look to you to give their food in due season. This is a simple poem from a very ancient author. When you hide your face, they, creatures, are dismayed. And when you take away their spirit, of course, they die and return to the dust. That's what we do, and that's what every creature does. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. The sacred home that we have the amazing privilege of living in. On Job, if God should take back his spirit to himself, the spirit he breathed into Adam and Eve, into our ancestors, all flesh would perish together and all mortals return to dust. So the Spirit of God is there to be seen, meaning there to be experienced in a love communion when we're in love with this world, this cosmos. Francis of Assisi is not the only one who fell in love with it. I hope there's a room full of us here. Ezekiel 37, thus says the Lord Yahweh to these bones. It's a symbol of Israel that's in exile in Babylon, and it's all finished and the king's in prison and there's no hope. And well, there is hope, because this priest who's also in exile says, this is what Yahweh is saying to these dry bones, us. I will cause spirit to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put spirit in you, and you shall live, and you'll know that I am Yahweh. Analogy, simple, but beautiful. God is faithful. And then something happened in our evolving universe that is the reason for us all being here. And it's, we'll never get to the end of how stunning this is. The Word that said, let there be light, let there be, let there be. The Word that's at the heart of that, God's power, God's Spirit from within, enabling this emerging universe somewhere in the middle of it all, in a place called Nazareth. The Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. Now, I used to look at it, maybe you did too, in fact it's almost inevitable, I guess, anyhow. I used to think that God was intervening from outside somewhere, I don't know, you know, and God says, all right, I'm going to become, one of us is going to become a human being. So that doesn't happen from this emerging universe. I actually think it does. But I used to think it was an extra, like a miracle that God did from out there somewhere, out of space, I don't know what. But let's have a better look at that. This Word, this let it be, this Spirit of God in the evolving universe comes to this extraordinary human being called Jesus. An extraordinary mother, and obviously an extraordinary father too. This is Dennis Edwards, who was quoted yesterday and will be again, I imagine. He's an Australian theologian. This is his area for discovery. He writes in How God Acts, page 158, God gives to creatures themselves the capacity for the new. Because of God's creative and redeeming presence to creatures, they can become something they were not. When matter comes to life on earth, when life becomes self-conscious, that's us, and personal, this occurs through God enabling creation to transcend itself from within, of course, and become something new. Homo sapiens. Above all, when one of us in the human and creaturely community, Jesus of Nazareth, is so radically open to God, so one with God, I and the Father are one. I always do the will of him who sent me. I must go on because that's why I was sent. This wonderful consciousness of God that was unique to Jesus, never been known before, a great people, but he was... And so one with God, then we rightly see him as God with us, Emmanuel. Then we can say that in this person, Jesus, creation transcends itself into God. There is only God. We're all called to be God. We pray at Mass every day. He who shared our humanity, Jesus, we pray to share his divinity, don't we? share his divinity. Not become another God, but share his divinity. And Jesus' divinity is, what do we mean by human nature and divine nature? Well, you know this, but nature is a scientific term, simple enough term, determined by looking at what something does. So if it's an apple, if it produces apples, well, it's an apple tree. That'll do me anyhow. If it produces strawberries, it's a strawberry plant. Imagine. Hardly a tree. When Jesus acted, spoke, smiled, prayed, wept, slept, had restless nights, struggled in the agony, looked Pilate in the eye but didn't get too far, hugged Judas and said, why have you done this? We're watching a beautiful human expression of what humanity is at its best. That's his human nature. When the disciples saw Jesus go off on his own and pray, when he went up onto the mountain in prayer, when he went into the agony in prayer, who is this person that they came to see gradually and no doubt in the light finally of the crucifixion and the resurrection, because our writings come from 30 or 40 years after, and much meditation and much prayer and much sharing, they came to see that what they were watching was God acting. God's acting everywhere, by the way, but they saw God acting in Jesus and through him. They saw his divinity, his communion with the Father. If we start our theology with the Trinity as though we understand God, like we might get to understand the planet Pluto one day, if you can catch up with it. Still hasn't done a full circle, but anyhow, if we do, if we look all like that, we're not going to get anywhere. God is within. God is the mystery. God is the one that we all are part of. And every creature gives a unique expression to this wonder of the self-giving God. Well, as we watch Jesus, we see clearly like we'd never seen before, and we've seen it since, because the saints, Paul, I live no longer, I, Christ lives in me. So Christ isn't separate, he's not going to be just him and the rest of us just struggling on. No, he gives us his spirit, his prayer, his faith, his hope, his love. And when we experience that, we're experiencing God. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 20 reads, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, for whom, through whom all things exist, I think that's what I've been trying to say, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect. Make him perfect. Perfect human being. The perfect expression of what it means to be Homo sapiens. And the perfect revelation of God in human form.